2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Thursday, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not joined up with us yet, use the promo code PODCAST, gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. Really don't know how you beat that. With that $16 a month, you get access to our 24/7 Slack chat channel, always open. You can chat with me, Keith, and some of the best names in the business. We've also got the Domination Station. Folks, it helps you if you can't do research during the day, but you might not even want to do research during the day anymore with this damn thing. It's just creating winning lineups left and right. But, you got to do some tinkering. It's not all a system, but it is an amazing tool to use. You get that. You get Keith's cheat sheet. He stage breaks down the position by position. And also the VIP sheet, which runs down 1,000 simulations each day. Quite a fancy thingamadoojigger. My friends, it's DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I am your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall. He's joining us as always. You can find him at Boomers DFS Daddy. Keith, we are the champions.
Yes, we are. We are the champions, my friends.
Okay. Time for losers.
Yeah,
I could have taken a dig at Puerto Ricans there, but we're all friends. It's the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah,
I was going to say no time for Puerto Ricans, but no. Okay.
An interesting little storyline about it last night.
Okay. We won?
Well, besides that, not just won, we absolutely, completely, utter dominated. But Puerto Rico, I guess, later on this year gets to take a vote based on their citizens and their whether or not they're going to become the 51st state of the union. So by the next time the World Baseball Classic comes around, we could have Puerto Rico's playing for Team USA.
That'd be interesting.
It would be interesting. Very interesting. Now
we'd be a lot better. I mean, we're pretty good this time around, but...
Now, Puerto Rico has kind of said that they would like to, still field their own team.
Yes, as they should.
They are, currently a U.S. territory. We all know that anyways. So sure. Technically, they are what we would consider Americans. So, yeah, it's a little bit interesting. It's going to be funny to see what they kind of do. But, that's kind of nice. There was one other thing I was going to touch on. You were talking about, the cheat sheet and everything. I believe the Army was the only place where you could find somebody actually telling you to fade LeBron James last night.
Whoa, that's a hot take. Well, first of all, I got to say, with the whole Puerto Rico thing, I would think that they're going to, if they do this again, they would stay with the Puerto Rican team because, they have such a rich history with baseball and everything. And, props to them last night. Good sportsmanship. I didn't think, they were going to trash the field or anything like that. But, good big props to them last night. They, came out of the dugout, shook hands. Most teams probably would have just, put it right back in the clubhouse. But props to them for that. And, yes, with LeBron James, we had talked about it. You had brought up a good point that he hadn't, reached a 50-point plateau a lot of those times in Denver, especially in the second run back with the Cavaliers. And then, the other thing, too, you got to mention, I mentioned this in my article, I'm sure you mentioned it at some point on the pod, but the fact that Kevin Love is back now, you're paying a very high premium there for guys like LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. You're basically paying for them the same price, maybe even a little more, as when Kevin Love was out of the lineup. So that is something that you have to take into account. There so many points in that game last night with the Cavs and the Nuggets, but I believe Kyrie Irving was the high with like 39 fantasy points, if I'm not mistaken. Even if it was a little more than that, it wasn't too much, but crazy too. You had the Nuggets put up 79 first half points on the Cavaliers, but hey, Vegas called that one. They kind of fucked up two other ones, but I'll forgive them.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those things. Like, you talked about Kyrie, and he didn't even play, most of the fourth quarter or the fourth quarter at all. Had a horrible first half and still put up, 37, 38 fantasy points. So, I mean, he had an amazing second quarter, third quarter. And I have to be honest, I was watching the DK Live app, and starting to see LeBron James kind of shoot up it, and I was getting a little scared because he went on like a personal 15-4 run, and then the Nuggets just kind of shut that down. So I thought he was going to go into hero mode and kind of try to take over. He did, but it didn't work out quite like he wanted it to. The Nuggets, I mean, they're going to be a good team. They are. They've got some things they got to work out with the point guard position. Emmanuel Mudiay is kind of a head case right now, and there's a lot of different things going on. But make no mistake about it, that is not only is it a tough place to play on a back-to-back, that's just a tough place to play this team right now, period. Not like they have a home court, not like they're – and my Colorado people that listen to this are about to get on me. Not like they have a home court advantage as far as the show or the fans are concerned. But they do have a home court advantage as far as, the altitude and teams coming in and not being able to perform at peak optimal levels. So.
Sure, you got a crowd that's eating pop brownies all day. They're probably one of the most mellow crowds in the entire NBA. So,
when they show up,
licking on THC lollipops and eating weed cookies. I envy them in many ways, but you are not a rambunctious crowd like maybe like a Golden State or like an OKC. But the territory, their natural habitat certainly helps them out in most of these games.
I've got a lot of, friends up in Colorado and stuff like that. You can drive down, the one of the main streets there in Colorado Springs and see a bunch of the dispensaries and stuff like that. I actually know nobody personally that I still keep in contact with up there that actually partakes.
Oh.
It's very, very weird. It's legal, but it's very, very weird that, just because it's legal doesn't mean that they actually do it. So it's kind of one of those things.
I'm interested to see how I would do in that sort of landscape nowadays, because now I pass on the to quote Gaylord Fokker, I pass on the grass every time. Okay, but there was a pass when there was a time when I did not pass on the grass every time. So I don't know. I feel like I'd be more of that, the THC lollipop kind of weed brownie kind of guy. I don't think I'd be, my backyard, rolling up some backyard bug and, just going to town all day. I'd probably, do it a lot more subtly.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things like, when it's readily available and, it doesn't have the same rush or whatever as when you feel like you're, quote unquote breaking the law. It's kind of like when you're a kid and your mom said that you didn't want or you couldn't have a toy or candy, and what was the first thing that you wanted? She would tell you before the store, before you walked into Walmart, now we're not getting you a toy or getting you any candy this time. And then what's the only thing you think about the whole way through there is a toy or candy. So
Tootsie Roll lollipops. Exactly. Those were the best. Those THC gummies, they'll get you. The last time I was in New York, I felt like I had a piano on my back the entire time. Not a good feeling. Not a good feeling. All right. Five NBA games here, right, on this slate?
Yes.
Any more tidbits? Do you want to talk about weed anymore? Do you want to talk about baseball before we begin?
Oh, I could always talk about baseball, but let's get in and out with these guys today. They've suffered through, you know, 2 hour podcasts on 8-game slates this week. So let's buzz in and buzz out. It's our own resident, you know. Let's see here. What do we call him? He doesn't listen to the show, so we can call him pretty much whatever we want. But I want to be nice to him.
Now there's a couple candidates here.
Our own resident drop-in contributor, Taco, thinks that this slate is ugly and thinks that the best play on the slate is actually off of his Suns. And I would firmly disagree with the best play on the slate, but I actually think that
he's not on the Suns. He used to be on the Suns.
Well, that makes it even worse because I was thinking that he was a different guy.
Okay.
But I happen to think that this slate is sexy.
Oh boy! Well, the Nets are on it, so you know that definitely lends it some credence.
So yeah, let's get to it. Let's have some fun, and then obviously, yes. Do want to let everybody know if you are a part of the DFS Army. This is just one little quick announcement. Okay, we've had some requests for the alternate slates, the late slates, the turbos, and stuff like that being uploaded in the DS. Understand that I do all. This isn't like an automate. The model is ran automated, but the actual upload is done by myself.
Painfully.
And after I go through and, you know, make some edits where I feel like there need to be and stuff like that. Not major ones to where I'm putting my own personal bias in there, but if a guy that, you know, hasn't played more than 20 minutes in, you know, 8 games and isn't, you know, there's not an injury saying that he's going to play more than, you know, 20 minutes, I'm not going to have him projected for 24 minutes, you know? So, It's a little bit of a tedious process, and that's why I only have been doing the main slate is because I don't want to upload, you know, 5 slates each day, per site and have nobody using the Express one, the Turbo one, and, you know, those different slates. So if you have a request for a slate, and I already got one for the life cycle slate and the late slate on DK today. Those are both uploaded into the DS already. But if you have a request and you are part of the Army, DM me, please, by 3 o'clock PM Central time so I can add it in.
4 o'clock Eastern.
4 o'clock Eastern, 3 Mountain and 2 Pacific. that way I can add it in and don't ask me to quote what Hawaii time it is. Otherwise, I'm going to stick to the main. And now the only reason you would need the late slates loaded in, it won't change the projections or the optimal lineups it spits out. But the .csvs for editing, for multi-editing, are the player IDs are different. Okay, so that is the only reason. So if you're just going to play one or two lineups into the, you know, the turbos or anything, then you know, there's no reason to ask for it because you can just unclick the games. But if you are planning on multi-edit or multi-entering and you want to edit with .csv, then please let me know. I have no problems doing it, but you have to let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to stick to the main. Okay?
Yeah. And I will say I did the uploads once for the Domination Station. I'm pretty sure everybody remembers. It was that memorable. I wanted to shoot myself in the face. So
it's a lot quicker now. That was when we were first starting it. That was when it was newer. It is a lot quicker now. Well, maybe it takes the same amount of time, but it's a lot more steps, but it's a lot more intensive now. Like there's a lot more information and data that goes into it than what it was. That's how come it's gotten better. You know, as we've kept going, that's how come it's gotten better is because of more information that I've put into it.
All right, that'll do it. Yes, and everyone give Keith a round of applause because the Domination Station has been, well, you know, dominating. That's what it's been intended to do, and everybody's really been having a lot of success using it. So next time you see Keith at Walmart, give him a pat on the back. Okay, five games on the slate. Let's get to it. Let's get to probably one of the best games of the night here, the one with the most implications in terms of playoffs and seeding and whatnot. The Toronto Raptors at the Miami Heat, -3 with a money line of -175 here, total of 203 in this one. Teams have split the season series, both teams winning on their home court, and the Raptors are 10-6 against the Heat in their last 16 meetings, covering 9 of those. Injuries for both sides. Kyle Lowry out with the wrist injury. Serge Ibaka going to serve that one-game suspension for punching Robin Lopez and then getting tackled by an entire team of people. Sam Whiteside, he got 13 stitches, but he's still probable to play today. He got that all in his hand. And Deion Waiters is going to be out for this one with the ankle injury still. Let's start with the Heat here real quick because I got to give some congrats to Sam Whiteside, the reigning Eastern Conference Player of the Week. 3 games last week, he averages 20 points, 13.7 rebounds, 2.7 blocks, and he had an NBA best 73% shooting percentage from the field and 86% from the free throw line. We saw Hassan last year have a nice streak at the free throw line, and then he just fell off a damn cliff, but hopefully he stays there. I don't mind this matchup here against the Raptors, but we got some good plays here besides Whiteside. Don't forget, we got James Johnson, sort of a revenge game. He actually played for the Raptors twice, which is weird, but he did. He's coming off one of the worst games of his entire career. He looked to rebound there. And, of course, Goran Dragic, Tyler Johnson, both in play here. Corey Joseph, one of the worst on-ball point guard defenders in the entire NBA. So what sticks out to you the most here?
I'm a little worried about Hassan Whiteside, just because of the lacerations in his hand, 13 stitches. That doesn't, for me, when you, it's just like, you know, when a guy's got a lower body injury to in baseball and he's a hitter, it's not something that directly affects the fact that he's going to play, but it can affect his effectiveness. I didn't mean it to sound like that, but it really can.
But it was cool.
I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet. I want to look and I want to do a little bit more research on this and see exactly when he got it. Did he return? What kind of impact it has? You know, what everybody's saying about shoot around and stuff like that. I want to see a lot of that before I make a decision. If everything is good to go, and that's what I'm going to kind of go by and assume as of right now, then you've got to think that Hassan Whiteside is actually one of the top centers on the board today, right?
Sure. Well, let me drop this in here for you because he did have a similar injury. I believe it was last season, and he ended up missing 3 games. But, he's going to have a fancy wrap thingamadoo-jigger on his hand here. It should be able to go. I'm sure the rebounds are going to be fine. Probably have a couple blocks, but, the scoring is something I might, I might take a cautious look at.
If anybody's got a picture of this thingamajuber that Whiteside's going to play with today, please either tweet it at me or send it to me in DM on Slack. I would love to get a picture of this and find out exactly, because that's going to help.
Are you still accepting faxes? Can they reach you that way?
I do not have my fax hooked up. I have not needed it since the Stone Age, but
great age.
You know, if there's some reason why you do need to fax me, then I guess I can send it to my wife. She does, work in an office and she still receives faxes every once in a while.
All the office equipment. All right. What about, Jimmy James Johns Johnson, James Johnson here? He absolutely slit our throats on Tuesday. So
I didn't apologize for it either.
No, absolutely. He walked away, left the body right at the scene. You going to give him another chance tonight?
Yeah.
He loves him early.
I think it's a good bounce back spot, especially with Serge Ibaka out. I think it's a way that you can kind of attack it a little bit differently. I know why Taco said that the quote unquote best play on the slate was his former boy in PJ Tucker. I'm assuming he thinks that PJ Tucker is going to basically take over for the Serge Ibaka role. I don't think it's going to be him, and we'll talk about him when we get to the Maverick or the Raptors. But yeah, I don't think it's going to, I don't think that's where I want to go. I don't mind attacking with James Johnson. Obviously, you know, like we said, with Deion Waiters out, he does see an increase in usage and shots and stuff like that. But I really do like the combo of Tyler Johnson and Goran Dragic as well. Now, obviously not in the same lineup. I would really, really kind of extremely caution against that just because we saw it the other day. Tyler Johnson went off and it kind of hurt, you know, James Johnson and Goran Dragic a little bit. Now, Dragic ended up doing fine, but in that first half when Tyjo just went bonkers, Dragic was at, I think, like, what, 8 fantasy points in the first half?
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good at all. So I would not put those three in the same lineup. I don't think I would mind a Dragic-James Johnson stack. I'll have to look a little bit. But normally when I play Heat players, it's Hassan Whiteside that's paired up with, you know, either a Tyler Johnson or a Deion Waiters or a Goran Dragic. James Johnson and Tyler Johnson, I kind of, you know, try to stick to playing them by themselves if I'm not pairing them up with Hassan Whiteside.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so let's talk about the Toronto side of things here. DeMar DeRozan finally popped off. I remember you had that call there on the pod Tuesday. Now, going to be tough for a repeat performance here, but if anybody can do it, it's DeRozan. Kind of our Jimmy Butler light, if you will.
Would you like to know DeRozan, how many shots he took?
Boy, do I, yeah.
I'll just throw out a guess.
23.
Go up.
27.
Go up.
Wow. 29.
Go up.
86.
He took 38 shots.
Wow. That was close.
38, dude. You're telling me that a guy's going to shoot the ball 38 times? Just to give you an idea, DeMarcus Cousins scored 41 points that same night. In 5 less minutes, scored 1 less point. Okay, had 5 threes. Now, we all know that the three-point shot is not DeRozan's game. That's not what he does. He drives, gets to the free throw line. He took 11 free throw attempts and 38 field goal or 38 shots. He still shot 44%. He had a 44.4% usage rate in that game. Ladies and gentlemen, that is more than Russell Westbrook.
My goodness.
It was unbelievable. And he did this at 8,600 on FanDuel. Now, he's not that price, unfortunately, again today. But still, you know, I mean, do I expect him to pop off for 63 again? You know, 64? No, I don't.
God, no.
But he's only 9K. On FanDuel, I'm looking to see what his price is over here on DraftKings here real quick. I normally have this stuff pulled up, and I did not have DraftKings pulled up this morning. He is littering and 8,700 on DraftKings. Now, here's the problem with this. Miami's actually pretty decent against guards. That's both point guards and shooting guards. Now, DeMar DeRozan is a guy that's going to command a high usage. He is going to take a ton of shots. So the question is do you pay more credence to DeRozan on the road or the Miami defense at home?
I'm probably going to go with Miami here. And I, again, you know, we talked about this the last time the Heat were playing. Amazing numbers against the spread. Did you know they have 17 games over 500 against the spread this season? That's crazy. And you know me, I bitch and moan all the time that Vegas doesn't really give the Heat any sort of respect. And you know, hell, 17 games over 500 against a spread for a team that was 11-30 at one point this season. Magical. Absolutely magical. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Miami defense in this one.
Okay. So that means DeMar DeRozan is off the table.
They're actually favored in this one, which is kind of crazy. So, yeah, I'm gonna give them that.
Yep, that means Miami's defense or Toronto's guards are off the table. Now, I do have a little bit of interest in Jonas Valanciunas, if the Hassan Whiteside injury seems to be a little bit more than what the Heat are letting on. And just because of the fact that even in playing 25 minutes – he's only 5,200. I think we can get, 28 DraftKings points out of him, 25 on FanDuel. He should be right there around that $5,000 range on FanDuel as well, and he is 5,300. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. Attacking the Heat with Hassan or attacking Hassan Whiteside with centers is something that we've done a lot this year, and it's turned out to be more times than not pretty profitable. So I don't mind that one at all.
I gotta check. Let's talk about some more Raptors here because I wanted to bring this stat up and I don't have it, so I suck. We're gonna say who's gonna get the biggest bump with Ibaka? Is it Jonas Valanciunas or should we be looking at somebody else here too?
I would think it would be like a combo of Patty Pat and PJ Tucker and Lucas Nogueira. But Jakob Poeltl has been playing more minutes than Lucas Nogueira lately. Nogueira is pretty much found himself out of the rotation.
Unfortunate.
And yeah, I mean he hasn't played more than 10 minutes since February 26th. So, damn it, FanDuel, you started this little scroll back to unhighlighted games again. You had it fixed, and now you don't. So not something. You might see a little bit of a bump with usage with Hassan Whiteside, or sorry, Valanciunas, but. That would be probably the only place I would want to go unless we get word that, Patrick Patterson's going to start, but it's not like he has he did play 23 minutes coming out. He's 3,600 on FanDuel. He is 36 on DraftKings as well. It's not like that's a great matchup, but if you feel like you need the value today, he is an option.
Taco might be onto something with this PJ Tucker thing. At least we'll round up and call it 25. At least 25 FanDuel points in two of the last three games. The other game against the Pacers that he did not reach that 25-point mark, just below 20 FanDuel points there. Played the last three games, 33 minutes, 26 minutes, 27. All pretty tough matchups, Pistons, Pacers, Bulls, he's done pretty well. I know his matchup against the Heat isn't exactly that great, but if you are looking for a salary saver, that might not be a bad way to go.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You want to be right.
Not that at all. It's just for Taco to say he's the best play on the slate is
it's a stretch. It's a stretch, but I'm saying if you need a salary saver, I'm gonna assume he's gonna be under 25 points, just because of the matchup. But again, he should play pretty big minutes. All right, let's get to the game of the night. We're going to the Brooklyn section of the NBA. It's the Phoenix Suns at the Brooklyn Nets. Nets minus four favorites in this one, a money line of minus 175. Did you know this is only the fourth time that the Nets are favored this season? Yeah, that's true. Total 220 in this one. This game also features two of the top three fastest paced teams in the NBA, with the Nets running the fastest, Phoenix number three. Nets won the only meeting of this season series. It was all the way back in November. That was an 18-point win in the desert. And the Nets have won 8 of the last 10 games over the Suns. Both teams are actually on the front end of a back-to-back. Phoenix in Boston tomorrow. Nets in Washington. Not to visit the White House because, you know, they didn't win anything. But that's about it for this one. What's up?
I said rub it in, why don't you?
Yeah. Allen, let's talk about some injuries here. For the Suns, Allen Williams, Ronnie Price, both questionable with their own ailments here. And then Dragan Bender is going to be out with the ankle injury. And, of course, Eric Bledsoe, Tyson Chandler, Brandon Knight all out for the season. All shut down for the season. For the Nets, we got some injury news here. Jeremy Lin is going to be probable. He had the ankle tweak there the other day. And then Sean Kilpatrick and Joe Harris will remain out of the lineup. Okay, so as I wrote here in my notes, I'm just going to read this verbatim. From the bank of sad news, Brooke Lopez, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Sean Kilpatrick are the only current members of the Nets to experience consecutive wins with the team. Ouch. The last time the Nets won consecutive games was, hey, right around this time last year, March 24th, March 26th of last season. They beat the Pacers and the Cavaliers somehow in a two-game span there. Let's talk about the Nets here first because I think there are some decent spots to go to. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, the last time that these two teams played, had a huge game, 46.2 DraftKings points, 42.6 FanDuel points. He did that on the strength of 20 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, a block and a steal in 30 minutes. Now, I talked about this yesterday during Slack, last time the Nets played during the Slack chat channel, but I do like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson more when Jeremy Lin is out of the lineup. So, you know, I'm going to take a step back here on RHJ tonight since Lin's going to be back, but I still think Hollis-Jefferson's a pretty good player for his price.
Yeah, I don't mind him. We've been kind of riding him up a little bit. He's performed quite well over the last 5 or 6 games or so. So I don't mind that. I'm probably not going to go to any of the guards situation here just because it's, you know, a toss up.
Yeah.
And who really knows what the hell is going on in there. Brooke Lopez is interesting though. Very interesting today. Obviously, you know, when you talk about attacking Phoenix, you can attack pretty much everywhere on the court. Don't worry, Phoenix. We're going to get to you.
But you are behind the Nets.
Yeah. You know, it's a good matchup. He's been playing pretty well lately. His price is starting to go up a little bit, but, you know, this is a guy that we know, kind of like the end of last season when we thought that they were showcasing him to kind of trade him in the off season. I kind of think that same thing again. They kind of need to unload him a little bit just to kind of give, at least in my opinion, to give them some, you know, flexibility as far as what they can do with their roster. I just don't think that he fits long term in the Brooklyn Nets plans. I could be wrong. You probably know a lot better than I do. So I think I'm gonna keep riding Brooke Lopez because I think that his usage is gonna kind of stay the same, and it's not like they're playing for a lottery pick or anything. I mean,
good one.
I mean it like as a stab. I just feel like there's no reason for them to purposely tank and sit Brooke. You know?
No, absolutely. And yeah, I brought this up yesterday too. It's funny where, you know, you got the Nets who are the worst team in the league record wise, but you look at it, they're actually trying to win games, you know, because their situation is a lot different than, you know, your Suns, your Lakers, your Orlando Magic, teams like that, where they're, you know, they have to build off, you know, kind of within. Like, they're not going to really be able to build through the draft too much. And they did a great job last year. I mean, even being able to get Caris LeVert and Isaiah Whitehead in last year's draft with really, you know, not having much going into it. So, you know, credit to them. They do have two late first round picks this year, which, you know, I have confidence the front office can get something done. This is the same front office, I believe, that found Kawhi Leonard late in the first round. So, via trade, that is. Look, with Jeremy Lin, we'll start with him real quick. You know, the Nets still want to get a good look at Spencer Dinwiddie and Archie Goodwin. So I don't expect Lin to play a ton of minutes where it's going to give him, you know, that 33, you know, 35 point upside that we had kind of seen before he tweaked his ankle. So I'm not going to be on him. You know, I wouldn't go back to Spencer Dinwiddie, Archie Goodwin in this scenario, but Brook Lopez, this is very interesting. He's hit 40.7% of his three-pointers in the month of March. He is up amongst the ranks of, I believe, Bradley Beal, Gordon Hayward, like just some true three-point threats, and that's where Brook Lopez is. And yes, they have to showcase him for the summertime. I believe they would get much more for him over the summer, or maybe even before the draft if they can work something out there, which would be pretty cool. But look, this Nets team, they're just trying to win games, try to build the camaraderie, you know, going into the off season, and just, you know, they got to figure out who's going to be here for the future. So there is that going for them tonight. Yeah, we talked about Brook Lopez. I like him a lot. The Domination Station loves him. He, you know, you pop up the five top lineups on, you know, the FanDuel side of things with three uniques. Brook Lopez is a center in each one. So that definitely is something to, you know, to keep in mind. And then, yeah, I also like, Caris LeVert, Trevor Booker, also good options for this game. You don't see him on the Domination Station, but again, against the Suns in this up-tempo matchup, I think they could be plenty useful.
The reason he's not in there is because at 1 a.m. when I was doing it, Caris LeVert was not projected to play. So,
what?
That's the reason why I
did. Well, maybe that's how they'll get more of a look at Spencer Dinwiddie and Archie Goodwin. Who knows? Well, again, too, this is the front end of a back-to-back for the Nets. So, I you know, that might make sense.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the only reason why.
Jeremy Lin tomorrow night. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only reason why. If we get word that he's playing, obviously he'll be in there a little bit later. But
from Suns, we spent a lot of time with the Nets.
Yeah. Brook Lopez is my best option, you know, for the Nets there. But okay. So on what was it? Today is Thursday. Tuesday, we had a situation with the Phoenix Suns. And there was not any word. They traveled to Miami. There was not any word all day about Alan Williams not being with the team. Not just not playing, not being with the team. I read a blurb, and the way I understood the blurb last night was that he did not travel with the team. And nobody knows. So there is no idea if he's going to actually be there tonight or not. I would assume if he did not travel with the team, or he said that he was not with the team. So I'm assuming that meant he didn't travel with the team. But I'm assuming that if he was not with the team, that he's not going to play tonight, unless all of a sudden he just, you know, downed a bunch of Tussin and Pepto-Bismol, pooped it all out, and is ready to go.
Come on. I was going to say, you know how hard it is for an NBA center to find a coach flight? I mean, you gotta get a couple rows.
Well, he's only 6'8", so it's not like he's a true center. I mean, he's more of a power forward type.
I guarantee you I have an easier time finding a coach flight than Alan Williams does.
Well, yeah, but you're like, what, 5'2"?
Whoa. You're totally undervaluing my height. I'm a 5'10", man.
Wow. Okay.
215, so I don't need two seats. Yeah, just one. I'll be good. Okay. A little snug, but I just need one.
I wouldn't say you're snug, buddy. Anyways,
you try to make up for the height with saying that I'm not husky. Okay. I see. Okay. All right.
So, yeah, major fail by the Phoenix Suns. If, you know, one of your key guys that you've been running out there for 25 plus minutes isn't with the team, how do we not know about that? Like, seriously, how does somebody, anybody, an equipment manager, a beat writer, hell, how does a teammate not say during pregame interviews, where is Alan Williams? I haven't seen him today. He's not in the locker room. There's nothing until the first thing I heard about it was, you know, like I said yesterday, the Miami Heat radio broadcast. That was the first. And
what's interesting, right? It's like we kind of go back to that Derrick Rose situation where he'll be here. He'll be here.
Well, no, but then... the Heat broadcast had it, it said it like, you know, literally 5 seconds after tip off.
Right, right.
Like, so they had the information.
I'm going into the mind of a beat writer here. We're basically they're just. Oh, yeah, I'm sure everything's fine. Like, he's in the background. Like, if the coaches didn't say anything, you know, because most of these guys are usually transparent. Now, the Miami Heat, maybe, you know, through osmosis, they leaked over to the Phoenix side. Like, all right, we're going to be douchebags about our injury report tonight. And maybe that's how it works. Maybe Miami's just, you know, it just exudes all the douchiness out of these NBA coaches. I don't know.
He drank too much of the South Beach water if he's actually with the team.
Or they were getting it popping at, like, Club Bed or whatever. What's the name of it? There's a club there where it's all beds. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's freaky. If you're into that kind of thing.
Okay, so now that we got our rant out.
Your rant.
Yeah. Yeah, our rant. Anybody that's going to play more than 20 minutes today, and if you break it down, has the ability to get, and on a slate like today where we don't have any high-end stars or anything, you know, 4.5, 5x, I think they're in play for the Heat. Alex Len.
Suns.
Or, yeah, for the Suns, I'm sorry.
Wrong hot organism, yes.
One is the actual, you know, thing. The other one is what that thing omits.
Fucking science class. All right, yeah.
No kidding. okay, so, you know, Alan Williams, Devin Booker.
Great initials. Great initials, by the way.
You know, TJ Warren, Marquise Chris, who's been playing very well lately, by the way.
I like MQ. I got a nice little blurb on here. What do you get? 17.5 points and 7.3 rebounds. He's averaging over the last four.
Yeah, and he's only going to get better. He's of that youngin. Too young or not fully developed into his man body yet. You know, he's going to put on some muscle. He's going to get bigger. He's going to be able to bang down low a little bit more. Right now, he's just a freak athlete.
Also, Boogie Jr. with the T's.
Yeah, but Boogie wasn't like – I mean, Boogie put on some weight, and Boogie really grew into his body, but, I mean – I hope that Marquise Chris doesn't become Boogie-esque, at least in size and stature. I just think he's a little bit more.
I was just saying with the technicals, he's a nut job over there. What about Tyler Ulis? I mean, he finally tripped up for the first time since getting the starting point guard role. You know, not the easiest matchup there against the Heat, but I mean, look, if he's going to play nearly 40 minutes against the Nets, I'm in.
Expensive.
40 minutes against the Nets is pretty good.
I understand that, but you're talking about a guy that's 71 on DK and 65 on FanDuel.
68, even better.
Ah, 68, even better. I don't mind it.
Well, here's the thing,
little cautious.
like, even you're thinking it's pretty expensive. So, you know, Mr. Tournament, I like my low exposure. I feel like, you know, this is a how low, though, right? I mean, who the hell else are we paying up for today on this slate?
And a five-game slate.
Like a Dame Lillard. And they're
the highest projected total on the board. And it's against Brooklyn, and he's playing. So I don't know how low-owned he's going to be. Because the point guard position isn't that sexy. I mean, we've got a guy that's coming up in the later game that is pretty good.
Fuego.
But, I mean, yeah, between him and Devin Booker, you're going to get 36 minutes a game. TJ Warren's playing 36 minutes a game. You know, if Alan Williams is out and Ronnie Price is out, then we've got some, let's see here. Alex Len's going to end up playing around 30 minutes, probably. He's probably the best value option on the Suns today. I really wish they would throw Derrick Jones out there for 25-plus minutes.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell? A guy participated in a dunk contest. Your season's going down the hill. Why not, right?
Yeah, over. And, I mean, come on. Jared Dudley and Leandro Barbosa are getting 15-plus minutes a game. Throw Derrick Jones Jr. out there for 25 minutes and let's go to town.
Yeah, sir. If I'm, you know, those old guys and I'm on the Suns, I'm like, let me just go to the casino, bro. You know what's interesting? I heard Doug Gottlieb is actually going to join FS1. So he was on yesterday, and he was saying that Earl Watson might get the UCLA job if Steve Alford ends up going to Indiana.
I didn't think of that, but yes, absolutely.
Well, neither did I until he said it, but – yeah, just some Suns-related news. Probably going to be in the market for a new coach.
So, yeah. Oh, whoa. Yeah, but this isn't – before anybody criticizes Earl Watson, this is not Earl Watson's fault. I think Earl Watson's the scapegoat. I think that he is somebody that these young kids kind of relate to because he was playing when they were growing up. So I think they kind of look up to him. And he's letting them play, but make no mistake about it. As a head coach, you don't want to tank. If you know, for Earl Watson, he wants to win to be able to say, look, I could win with these guys. I don't think Earl Watson's the one calling the shots. He might be calling the shots in game, but I don't think he's calling the shots behind the scenes. Cause I don't know why you sit down Brandon Knight and, Eric Bledsoe. I could see Tyson Chandler.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Well, yeah, but you got to think that those two are going to be with a different team next year. And yeah, it's not like they're sure. And it's not like they're old either. You know, they're still in their early to mid 20s. So I don't think that Earl Watson's getting a fair shake, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not trying to say he's going to get fired by the Sun. He can just, you know.
Oh, no, I think he's going to get fired by the Sun. Don't get me wrong. Oh, okay. I just don't think that it's, you know, entirely his fault.
Like, whatever. It's one of those things where you're like, I quit. And they're like, you're fired. All right, whatever, dude.
Like, oh, no, he's going to get fired because he wants that.
We've all been there with summer landscaping jobs, so, yeah.
Yeah, he wants that severance package completely.
I'm sure he's getting paid just fine. He's an NBA coach. All right, lots of plays there in that game. So, again, you know, we'll both have
material
on it. This
is
going to
be a very popular game stack, by the way.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, let's get to a West Coast matchup here with the Los Angeles Clippers, -4 favorites, -170 on the money line at the Dallas Mavericks here with a total of 206.5. The teams have split the season series, both winning on each other's home court. So the road team went in there. Clippers 6-3 outright and against the spread versus the Mavericks in their last 9 meetings. Clippers pretty damn good against the spread in tonight's situation. 9 games over .500 against the spread as the favorite. 5 games over .500 against the spread on the road. Mavericks, not bad themselves. 5 games over .500 against the spread at home. And 27-13 against the spread after a loss by 10 or more points over the last two seasons. No major injuries for the Clippers here. And for the Mavericks, Seth Curry's got a little bit of a shoulder issue there. He's listed as questionable. Look out for that throughout the day. All right, what are we looking at here in this matchup? These two teams know each other pretty well.
Yeah, it's a Western Conference rivalry. It's a showdown. It's actually, in my opinion, going to be a pretty good basketball game to watch. But I don't think it's going to be a great fantasy game to kind of target, other than a couple plays. Obviously, if Seth Curry's out, that brings in Wesley Matthews. He's probably the main target I'm looking at on the Mavericks here. Maybe a little bit of Harrison Barnes, considering that Luke Richard and Bob Mute has not been playing a ton of minutes lately. He's sitting right around that cap of 18 or so. And we have him projected at, I just had it, at 16 minutes. So he's not playing a ton. 18 minutes. I was looking at Raymond Felton. He's not playing a ton, so I don't think that he's going to affect Harrison Barnes too much. And it's not like Harrison Barnes isn't, you know, or it's not like Harrison Barnes is expensive either. So this is going to be a nice little matchup. I think Chris Paul is going to be on the combo of, you know, JJ Barea and Yogi Ferrell. So those two are completely off the board for me, even though that they're both kind of priced down a little bit. I know they don't have to do a ton, and point guards can pretty much fall into 20 points. But it is still Chris Paul, make no mistake about it. So I think Wesley Matthews is the guy that I'm really, really, really looking forward to. If Curry is out, we've got Matthews projected right around 34 minutes. And he should eat up, some more of that usage as well. I'm not going to Dirk here. Blake has had a propensity to get him into foul trouble in the recent matchups when they've both been on the court, together. And obviously, I'm going to have to look and see what Nerlens Noel has done against DeAndre Jordan. I know they haven't played that much against each other. But if memory serves me correctly, Nerlens actually had a pretty good game against DeAndre last time they played.
I remember you posting this way back in the season. Nerlens against the Clippers is fantastic. I'm going to pull this up here in a minute. But you know what I'm most excited about in this game is that the Clippers might actually get a full run of minutes. You know, we've seen this the last couple of games here where we've kind of gotten screwed by the fact that, you know, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, you know, the last three games, they just absolutely smoked whoever they played. So finally, we might actually get some meaningful minutes here. We know the Clippers are well rested for this one. But, you know, again, I brought out that fact, too, with the Clippers, you know, after getting – or I'm sorry, the Mavericks, after getting absolutely clobbered, they have been pretty good, you know, at least against the spread, just in terms of coming back strong. So, you know, number one, that's good coaching by Rick Carlisle. But I think that's going to help the Clippers no matter what. I think we'll see some pretty decent fantasy point totals. You could probably see – Chris Paul, or let's just call them the big three because that's what they are. We could probably see them play, I don't want to get too crazy with it, but 35, 37 minutes. I mean, they really haven't played that much over these last three games. So why not go all at this, right? This is a team that the Mavericks, they're fighting for a playoff spot. That's fine. But, you know, the Clippers need to do some winning of their own to place themselves in the right seed. I really like some Clippers here.
Yeah, we've talked about it. The Clippers have to keep on winning in order to kind of hold off the Thunder because, the Thunder lost to Golden State. That kind of set them a half a game back. But other than that Golden State loss, the Thunder have been one of the better teams in the NBA over the last 2 weeks. And they've been gaining on the Clippers. They've passed the Grizzlies, you know, now for that five spot, and they're gunning for that four seed. They have made that very, very public, at least here in town. Sorry, for the six seed, they're gunning for that four and five seed, and they're only two games out of the four seed. And like I've said before, they hold that tiebreaker over the Jazz, so the Clippers have to keep on winning. And you know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that the Clippers get back in that four seed. They're only a game back at the Jazz, so. That's I don't know what the tiebreaker scenario is there, but you know that's another thing that you know they're kind of shooting for, and they have started to play well or better lately. The last couple games, like we talked about, now the matchups have been better. So consider those preseason games leading up to this one being almost like a regular season game, if you want to kind of compare it. But yeah, I like those three. I've got them all projected over 30. Plus minutes, with 35 for Blake, 34 for DJ, and 32 for Paul. Don't be surprised to see Chris Paul's kind of increase if this spread gets lower over the course of the day. But the way I would do it if I'm building multiple lineups is you want to go Paul and DJ or Paul and Blake, but you don't want to go Blake, Paul and DJ, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, you talked about it plenty of times with, you know, the Mavericks being pretty good against, opposing backcourts. So, you know, I think we could probably, you know, we'll cancel off JJ in this one, but I don't know. It's tough who you would really go with here. I mean, of course, DeAndre, you know, if the Mavericks are going to go there with Dirk at the five. Yeah, it could hurt DeAndre's rebounds, but DeAndre on the offensive end could do well. We don't really see that too much. So I just spitballing here. I think Blake Griffin might be my guy out of this group. And we've seen him look pretty good here, even in these limited minutes. He's done well with the point totals and everything like that. We know that, you know, if he got his full run of minutes, he would make that 5x value, possibly 6 in some of these games. But yeah, I think he's probably the one that I'm targeting the most here.
He's been shooting the ball better the last couple games as well. He's been getting to the rim a little bit better. Hasn't settled for as many jumpers. Well, I say that, and then he shot two for nine against the Lakers.
Well, he was probably shooting them backwards, you know. Oh, woo, taking 50-foot hook shots.
Yeah. Okay, let's rephrase that. The three games previously, before the Lakers, he shot 50% from the field, 58% from the field, and 63% from the field. And the one against the Knicks, he was three for four beyond the arc. So, for Blake,
he
does
those backwards too.
Yeah, for Blake, it does.
If he makes them, they count. The other ones, no. Yeah.
What's hilarious about that game, he goes 3 for 4 from 3-point line, but 3 for 7 from the line. Then against the Lakers, he goes 1 for 4 from beyond the 3-point line, but 7 of 8 from the line. Go figure.
Makes sense.
makes a lot of sense. I'm not playing Chris Paul by himself. We've talked about it. Dallas is sneakily good against the guard position. So I want that correlation pairing with Paul and Blake or Paul and DJ. And it is confirmed. Nerlens Noel versus the Clippers. Yes.
Yeah, I meant to look. I just completely, like, we started talking about something else and I forgot about it. But, yeah, do you have the exact ones there for the people?
I do. This is in his career. He has not scored less than 23.4 fantasy points, and that was in his first game against the Clippers. Okay. He has a high of 49.8 and a 45 in there, but he's also got a 25.1 and a 31.1.
Sheesh.
So yes. He's, I don't know what it is about the Clippers, but he gets up for him, and I don't think he's going to be highly owned tonight.
No. I would not think that at all. You know what's interesting too? Now, I'm not sure because I'm looking at the graph here. So his career high, best FanDuel performance there, 49.8. I'm not too sure what the situation was, but I do know this one on January 24th, where he had the 45.1. That was he was basically like the only guy in the backcourt, I believe. I'm sorry, not the backcourt, in the front court, but I believe he was like the only capable big at the time. This is before the Rashawn Holmes era, but he's definitely been in some favorable spots. But again, you take a look at the other ones. I mean, he's not necessarily killing your lineup. 23.4, 25.1, 31.8, and then you got two that are right around 50 there. So he's a bull, man. He sees red, he charges. He likes it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Any other plays here from this one you like?
No, I'm not really on J.J. Redick or Jamal Crawford. That ship's kind of sailed for me in this matchup. So, we can move on.
Fair enough. Oh, we get a great game instead. The Memphis Grizzlies at the San Antonio Spurs here. -8 are the Spurs. Money line here at -335 is in favor of the Spurs as well. We got a total of 199 here too. Shockingly, the Grizzlies have won both meetings this season. The one thing, though, both have been on Memphis's home court. This one is in right by the Alamo. Spurs are 10-4. Against the Grizzlies in their last 14 meetings. Spurs have covered 8 of those 14 games. Big against the spread number here is for the Grizzlies, and it's not a good thing. They are 12-24 against the spread on the road versus teams with a winning record over the last two seasons. We saw Tony Allen sit out the last game. He's probable for this one. It was a slight knee thing. He kept him out for that last game. And then, of course, Chandler Parsons out for the season. Both of those for the Grizzlies. And then for the Spurs, David Lee is probable for this one. Slight foot injury that kept him out last game. He's back. And DeJounte Murray, he is still out with a groin injury. All right. Load him up. What are you looking for here?
Mike Conley's intriguing.
Okay.
As a low-owned tournament option, he's very, very intriguing as like a pivot off of, say, a Goran Dragic or a kind of an upgrade to, well, really that's the only pivot that you have because Chris Paul's, $1,700 more. And then, the other pivot, you're basically going to from a guy that's, $800 less, that's going to play 40 minutes in a cake matchup to a guy going probably against one of the tougher overall team defensive or matchups in the NBA. So he's interesting as a low-owned tournament guy. I don't think he's going to be highly owned just because a lot of people don't like to play guys against the Spurs. Definitely not a cash game play for any for any reason, unless all the other point guards on the slate get ruled out for some reason, then you can play Mike Conley in cash. Mark Gasol. We just saw this matchup a couple games ago. And he played 40 minutes, put up 30 and a half fantasy points. Do you think that he does better this go around? I don't know, but he's intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I was reading a preview of this game, which is where I've been getting all these cool stats from. But the Spurs sound like they really want to win this one. They kind of, they sound like they've really taken some exception to, the Grizzlies beating them twice. Both of these teams' styles are pretty similar. Slow it down. Let's go for efficiency over quantity, which is not what the rest of the NBA has been doing these last couple of seasons. So again, you're going to see, what are we in terms of pace? You got San Antonio at 27, you got Memphis at 28. not intriguing. Defensive efficiency, Memphis is at 6, San Antonio at 1, not even less intriguing, or appealing, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, look, if you're looking for low ownership, this is certainly the place to go. I feel like, you know, you can almost afford anything. I shouldn't say you can't afford anything you want, but you can afford whichever way you want to go with your lineup. So I feel like, you know, Kawhi, probably the best player on the slate in terms of, you know, doing a little bit of everything. So people might go there, but of course you got the Grizzlies factor there. I don't think this is going to be a good night for the Grizzlies, but hey, look, if it is, you're probably going to be one of the, you're going to be in the 5% of people that owns it. So if you're asking me to make an A or B decision here, I do like Gasol over Conley. I mean, look, we've seen bigs do pretty well against this San Antonio front line at times. I know the DVP numbers don't look like that, but, you know, look back to it. You got guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, who you can kind of profile similarly a little bit to Marc Gasol here. And, you know, he's toasted the Spurs time and time again this season. So, I'm probably going to go Gasol on this one.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to go Gasol, but if I had to make the decision, I'd go Gasol over.
You know, you just. I was about to say. I think if I remember what you just said, and if I kind of think of everything correctly, I think you just pivoted. You just talked yourself out of Conley and went to Gasol, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, definitely going with somebody against the Suns. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's probably a good bet. All right, so who else? We've got Vince Carter, who's been a pretty good source of value here. Zach Randolph at times. Any interest in guys like that?
Vince Carter just scored 21 fantasy Fando points against the same team the other night. This is a matchup that we saw two nights ago, earlier in the week. So I'm pretty apt to say that whatever happened in that matchup, you can throw it out the window and, you know, just play tonight's matchup. You know, the Spurs are pretty much they're a good defensive team no matter where you go, and so are the Grizzlies. This is a nice grinded out game. This is a playoff atmosphere game. Make no mistake about it. But it's kind of one of those things that, you know, if you really, really had to go for it, go for previous matchups, not just what happened the other night, because it's still fresh in their mind. So they're going to key on whatever hurt them the other night. They're going to try to key to stop that again. Because if you're a coach and you start, if you had success, say, running the high pick and roll with Conley and Gasol, and that just tore up the Spurs, and I'm using this as an example, not as anything more, that's the first thing I start going to. I make them prove that they can stop it before I go away from it. Well, if I'm the Spurs and I know that's what hurt me, then that's what I'm going to put my focus on to stop. So usually when we see these guys play twice in, you know, a short amount of time, whatever happened the first game typically usually doesn't last too long into the second game. I don't mind Gasol. I think he's an option, is a tournament option or a tournament play. I like him a little bit better on DraftKings, but, you know, Kawhi is definitely 100% if you put a gun to my head and made me choose one guy out of here, it's going to be Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Who I think actually, now that I remember, he has not performed well the last five games or so, or three games. He has not broken, ever since he got up to that, close to five-figure mark as far as salary. He hasn't broke 38 fantasy points. I believe he was at, what, a 7 at halftime? And I put it in the Slack channel. I was like, guys, he's 1 for 4. He took 4 shots. I was like, I would put my house that he's going to take more than 4 shots in the second half. And I would have won a new house. You know, so LMA kind of ate in the first half the other night. And you know, did absolutely completely nothing the second half. So that's kind of how it works.
I'm looking back at Kawhi, right? So the last time that I played him was that game against Houston. Remember when he blocked James Harden there at the end and they had that batshit crazy game? So let's see, he missed two or three games after that. I haven't had Kawhi Leonard in my lineup in almost 3 weeks. That is insane. Insane. And I've missed all these shitty, well, the one against Portland, he balled outrageous, but wow, I've missed a lot of that. Good me. Way to go me. I guess that's why I've been winning a lot over the last couple of weeks. Oh, freaking K. LaMarcus Aldridge.
No, I'm off. We had him the other night. I'm back off.
Fair enough.
So, Jamichael Green and Z-Bo have actually made a pretty good defensive combo at the power forward position over the last month or so. So I'm kind of not feeling that one. I'm trying to sit here and think about Z-Bo because he played 26 minutes in the last game, was 7 of 12. He took 12 shots that last game against San Antonio. Scored 29 points. He's under 5K on DraftKings. I don't mind it. It's not exciting, but definitely isn't on a 5-game slate. It's definitely not, you know, something that you just want to, you know, mark off.
Gotcha. All right. Anything else this one before we get to the quote unquote grand finale?
No. I mean, we pretty much hit it all.
Fair enough. All right, here we go. New York Knicks at the Portland Trailblazers. Blazers 9.5-point favorites here on the money line. They are at -1,000 on the dot. Line has actually gone up to 11.5. Actually, a lot of these lines today have gone up, but I don't know. We could talk about it at the end. Total here started at 218.5, has gone down a little bit here to 216. I have no official word on anything with the Knicks, but I have a feeling a bunch of their guys are going to be sitting tonight. You're probably going to see Melo. I assume they will. They already said that first of all, no key injuries for either team so far.
Derrick Rose? That's not a key
injury?
What the
hell happened to him?
Dude, he tweaked his ankle last night against the Jazz and had x-rays.
I did not see that.
Now they came back
negative.
Sorry,
I was watching our country dominate in baseball.
I did too, but I got especially the Knicks against the Jazz.
I have a friend from home, right, and he's on Facebook, and he posts this ridiculous stat. He's like, anybody want a FanDuel lineup? I got you 315 or over, blah, blah. I said, man, shut up. You know you got it at 250, and then he's actually doing pretty well. And he's like, yeah, I got this with Hayward and Melo left. And I was just like, why would you do something stupid like that? But and I asked, what are the ownership percentages on those guys? So Hayward, you know, 10%, probably what you expect. Melo, 2.3.
Hell yeah. And deservedly. You could have told him,
about
340s.
Yeah, what are these other 2.2 people thinking? Like, why would you do that to yourself? Anyhow, I understand why the guy I know did it. I mean, you know, a lot of brain damage, but, you know, still.
The only reason I knew about that is because I got a notification. I get a lot of injury notifications on my phone and stuff because, you know, until my family goes to bed, I don't watch a lot of the earlier games unless it's the Thunder. I have them going on in the background, but I'm usually spending time with my wife or my son and stuff like that. So
is Rose out definitely? Or
he is not out, but he is not. They said he's 50-50, and they would not be surprised if he sat. X-rays did come back negative, and he was able to return after the injury, but they said that he was walking around with a little bit of a limp afterwards in the locker room. This is why I put so much emphasis on it. This is the key. This is the piece that's going to unlock the puzzle tonight. Because if Derrick Rose is out, then all of a sudden you can fit both Damian Lillard and Kawhi Leonard in your FanDuel lineup with like a Brook Lopez and not have to really go anywhere else for value. Because if Kawhi, if Derrick Rose is out, okay, you've got guys like Chason Randle and Ron Baker that are going to end up getting the workload at the one in a decent matchup. The problem is neither one of these guys have shown any sort of, you know, ability to be a viable fantasy option.
Yeah, you know who Ron Baker is?
I know exactly who Ron Baker is. He freaking led Wichita State to the Final Four, what, 2 years ago or last year, whatever it was.
You know who he really is? He's that guy when you create your guy in NBA 2K and he's got no rating points or whatever, and they just stick him out there with the starting lineup, and you know he just gets a couple assists and rebounds when everybody else on the court falls down and he's the only one standing up, and he grabs. That's who Ron Baker is. He's the guy that has a rating of 60 and everybody else on the court
so
is like
when
a normal
you start
human
your
being.
Career he's right. Who you start out as.
Yes exactly.
So
that
what you're saying
that NBA debut game is Ron Baker.
The more he plays, the better he should get. Now here's an interesting situation.
Maybe he's
lucky.
He hadn't
played a lot earlier through the year. I mean, you got to understand this guy wasn't even supposed to make the Knicks out of training camp. They had Brandon Jennings and Derrick Rose. They thought they were set. And
if this were the 70s, he would make a perfect Knick. Just look at that floppy hair.
Oh, I know. And he's been playing a lot better lately, a lot more minutes lately. I don't know. It's not somebody I want to play, but I mean, I think that, you know, he's one of those guys that he's a grinder. He's going to work his ass off and he's going to turn himself into a serviceable NBA point guard. Not a superstar. He's not going to ever be a max player, I don't think. You know, he comes from a blue collar, you know, he's not afraid of hard work. And that's something that I think the Knicks are kind of allergic to, other than these guys that are trying to prove themselves.
Knicks put an ad out in the Daily News the other day in the classifieds. We're looking for hard workers. Anyone?
Ron Baker showed up and, you know, in jeans and a cutoff t-shirt with his muscles yoked out. And so
he parked his pickup truck on the sidewalk next to the garden.
And not just his pickup truck, his 1985 pickup truck.
Yes, indeed. Vintage.
Covered in mud. Vintage. Okay. So let's get to the main question. Rose and Melo out. What are you doing with? I'm saying this is the basis of the question. Rose and Melo are out. What are you doing with Kristaps Porzingis?
I'm probably not going to play him. And I understand he was a rookie last year, but he really, like, his worst stretch of the season last year was on the West Coast, and particularly in back-to-back games, he didn't do that well. I can't check the back-to-back stats because StatMuse doesn't have it. I actually tweeted them yesterday and said that.
You want to know what he's averaged on this West Coast road trip, though?
What's that?
36.3.
Wow. Well, good for him. I don't know. I think he'll be pretty popular tonight. You know, we know he's probably going to see some good defenders and, you know, Al-Farouq Aminu.
That's why I'm off.
You know, yeah, he'll probably see some Yusuf Nurkic at times as well. Look, Knicks, you know, they haven't been that great on the back end of back-to-backs. I'm not sure against the spread, but 4-10 outright on these back-end games. Yeah, he's certainly going to see some resistance tonight. And again, this is the key to their future. You know, the Knicks have zero reason to win these games. So, yeah, I don't see them pushing Porzingis enough to the point that, you know, they're really going to go for this one. I mean, if they don't have Rose or Melo tonight, there's just no shot that they even come close to winning this game. I mean, look, you saw – I didn't see it. I saw a little bit of it on GameCast, but I checked it on the score every now and again. But look, I'm sure the Knicks were trying their hearts out last night against the Utah Jazz. You know, Utah's not an easy place to go in and let only win, but, you know, be competitive in those games. So I'm sure they exert a lot of energy. And, you know, we're talking about a Portland team that needs wins, especially even more so now that they lost to Milwaukee at home the other night. You know, they absolutely need these wins. So, again, no Rose, no Melo. There's no chance in hell that this game stays competitive. I know who the Knicks have on their roster. Hey, you're not fooling me, bro.
Another question is if Melo misses, then you've got the Lance Thomas situation that comes up. That's not a great matchup. I mean, Maurice Harkless, Evan Turner are pretty good defenders. I don't mind Evan Turner at 4,100 for Portland. Okay. Noah Vonleh, you were the sneaky play, an option the other night, and you completely and totally – I mean, you didn't do bad. You still – I mean, you didn't do bad. 38 – I think you were 3,600 the other night. And, you know, you got 5.5x. So I wasn't disappointed with you, but it definitely wasn't the 6 or 7x that I was kind of hoping to sneakily get out of you, because you were under, I think, 2% owned. And the only reason I played him and the only reason I rolled him out there was because the domination station told me to.
Uh-huh.
So because we talked about it on the pod that day. Yeah, I don't mind it. He's playing close to 30 minutes, man. And this is not a bad matchup for him.
You kind of poo-pooed the Knicks. Well, I totally poo-pooed him, but there is one guy that I do have interest in, Justin Holiday. Again, if all these guys are going to be out tonight.
I completely forgot about that.
He is a free-spirited shooter, never seen a shot that he doesn't like. So, brother of Drew as well. So I really like that spot for him, but I need to know if all those guys are going to be out for the Knicks, because – he will be their Fonz, and might even see some time at point guard. I'm not sure how much, but even if he's not the if so facto point guard, he will definitely be handling the ball a lot. So I do like him.
Yeah, Chason Randle has only been – I mean, he's played very, very sketchily. Ron Baker is basically their backup point guard to Derrick Rose right now. But like you said, Justin Holiday is capable of running some of the one as well, along with the two. I don't mind Courtney Lee as a sneaky option for the Knicks, especially if these guys are out. 4,700 on FanDuel. He's playing, besides that Clippers game where they just got absolutely completely waxed, he's playing 30-plus minutes, and he can fall ass backwards in the points in good matchups. So I don't mind that. He's probably playing for his next contract. I don't know if he's in a contract year or not, but I highly doubt he's going to be with the Knicks next year. At least he hopes that he's not going to be with the Knicks next year.
Forgot about my boy Mindaugas as well, but they're not running him out there. So
yeah, they're not.
Mindaugas, he was so profitable at points this season. I've used him plenty of times, but I don't know. You got to wonder again too. I mean, if no Rose, no Melo. I'm sure that game against the Clippers, he played 18 minutes. But, again, that was with Rose and Melo in the lineup. So, I don't know. You kind of have to, you know, if you're going to be playing these guys, you're going to have to use your imagination a little bit. But, again, I feel like the safest, probably Holiday, Lee, like you mentioned. And, look, I'm sure Willie Hernan Gomez is going to play and, you know, play a lot of minutes. And he might even be popular. But – again, it's not a great matchup down low for these guys. 20 minutes?
20 minutes.
That's what he's limited to, or that's what you're calling?
That's what I think his ceiling is, because they'll run Kristaps at the five.
Okay.
Because Kylo Quinn maybe plays 10 minutes now. And then all of a sudden, you know, against your Brooklyn Nets, he just popped off for, 26? And we actually called it that night, and then we got off the next night, which was awesome. But, yes. Yeah, that's I don't think that this is another situation like that. Okay, so for Portland, and then we'll get out of here.
Okay.
Obviously, Damian Lillard at home. I mean,
yep.
He's always a great play. We've been playing him at home all season long, and then all of a sudden against, you know, whoever they played the other night, or Milwaukee, against the sneakily good point guard defenders. We just completely nixed out and canceled out the Damian Lillard at home part, and that blew up in our face. I think CJ McCollum's in play again as well. I also, you know, obviously think Yusef Nurkic is in play. The problem I have with Nurkic, he came out in the first, I think, 7 minutes against Milwaukee the other night and scored you 15 fantasy points. Boom. I mean, first 7 minutes. Got you one the rest of the half. And then went off basically the same sequence again. Now he still finished with a double-double, 27 minutes. You know, I would say probably around 33 is his ceiling. If it's a close game going into the fourth quarter, maybe more. But he is somebody that's going to contribute in all five categories. Six if you count turnovers. Yep. But he's somebody that's going to contribute in a lot of the categories. The issue is he's starting to get up there in price. He's not a free square anymore. But this is a very good matchup. So that kind of cancels each other out a little bit. I don't mind him in tournaments. I'm definitely probably not going there in cash games. But in tournaments, he is an option because he can go, like we said, we've seen it before. He can trip dub against these guys.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we saw what Rudy Gobert did to the Knicks last night. We've seen what a lot of opposing centers have been doing to the Knicks, you know, as they're trying to figure out what – as the Knicks try to figure out what they're doing. But, yeah, look, Nurkic's price is up there. I mean, my issue is really the blowout here, you know, and it's got a lot to do with what the Knicks do here tonight. So – you know, make no mistake about it. If the Blazers get up in this game, you know, they still have a lot to play for left in the season. So you're going to, you know, you're probably not going to see full throttle if they're up big. I hate the Knicks in every aspect. You know, the Blazers really need this game.
The rest of
So you can, you know, you could see them just putting the charge on them early, but if it gets too bad, then, you know, you're stuck with all that salary that you paid up for Lillard, McCollum, Nurkic. So it's a fine line, but I don't know. It's so weird, though, because, like,
pair them up, don't stack them. Is that what you're kind of saying?
I really like Lillard because Lillard's just been so hot. I mean, we talked about it the last time that the Blazers were on the podcast. You know, there was a stretch where, 36 from the free throw line. He's shooting like 55% from three-pointers, you know, shooting just below 50% from field goal. And then, you know, he carried that over to that game against the Bucks. So, you know, and look, and then you got the other thing, too, where the Knicks have been really bad against shooting guards. So CJ McCollum's even good here, too. I think, you know, all these guys are great. You know, you're probably going to see a little elevated ownership on them since they're, you know, the only late-night hammer game. But I would be cautious. I wouldn't go too heavy on it because and just hope that your guy is the one that gets the Blazers to that point.
Yep, I agree.
Oh, dear Lord. But, yeah, in terms of the matchup, no, there's no bad play against the Knicks. There's no bad play against the Nets. There's no bad play against the Suns. It's just, you know, this last game, it's incredibly mind-fucking. These people, they aggravate me to no end. Damn Knicks. All right. That'll do it for our podcast today. We hope you liked it. I know you did. If you're not a member here with the DFS Army, make sure you do so. You go to that website, dfsarmy.com. You can sign up using the promo code PODCAST. Gets you 20% off each month of the subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. Really, you get so much for that $16 a month. And I'm very excited, too, because, yes, we are winding down basketball. But as one life ends, another begins. And baseball is right here, right around the corner from Sunday, 1 week away from this upcoming Sunday. I can't believe it's already here.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I am so excited. And, okay, there's been a change to the NBA schedule. They usually do not schedule anything as far as the NBA on opening day of Major League Baseball, which is always the first April or first Monday in April. I call real opening day, not the fake one that, you know,
opening Sunday.
Yeah, not opening Sunday. That's not opening day. Real opening day is that Monday where I, you know, we basically do nothing and drink beer and play baseball all day.
Sure.
And watch baseball all day. The Portland and Minnesota game that was scheduled, that got canceled or postponed due to the court, that has been now scheduled for that day. So there's a single standalone game, and we will not be covering it.
I will probably
be drunk, be celebrating from winning all the money like we always do on opening day, and we're not going to be covering it.
Well, speak for yourself. I used, like an asshole, I used Tyson Ross on opening day last year against Clayton Kershaw. That did not go well. But, all right, cool. So we can now here's the deal, right? I've been wondering about this, and maybe we tease it here at the end, maybe ask some of the listeners what they would like to do. But I was thinking, right? So for podcasts, I believe there's going to be a period of 2 weeks where the MLB regular season and the NBA regular season go on. Should we do a podcast where we do the finer points of the NBA slate and the MLB slate for those 2 weeks?
That's still up in discussion, but yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. We won't That'd go as cool. in depth of, in the matchups of the NBA.
Right.
But we will, cover it and
kind of be like a pre-summer free-for-all.
Yep. So,
the DFS pre-summer free-for-all. I like that.
Yep. So we'll figure it out. But
I'll get a t-shirt made.
We'll probably get some little more things set in stone later on this week.
Indeed, indeed. All right. Thank you for joining us on this 5-game slate. We go.
Peace out.